You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking American League East with MLB.com's AL East beat reporters, and it's season preview time. So we'll be looking at reasons things will go well, reasons things might go poorly, pivotal and unknown issues, and we'll be getting a fearless prediction from each of our five AL East beat reporters. We'll be talking Orioles, Red Sox, Yankees, Rays, and Blue Jays.
Talking Baltimore Orioles with MLB.com's Orioles beat reporter, Brittany Giroli. We are almost at opening day. It is just about time. It's time to stop talking about position battles, and it's time to start talking about the regular season. So as we look ahead to what is hoped to be a pretty good season for the Orioles, we have five questions. Number one is, if this team gets to where it expects to go, which is not just into October, but deep into October, what's the biggest reason that that will happen?
I think the pitching. The pitching has to stay stable. They have to be able to get that 18 to 20 outs that manager Buck Showalter has talked about basically since he got here. If they can do that, they can bridge to those late inning guys, Tommy Hunter, Darren O'Day, Zach Britton, and they will be fine. Now, if they start having those short outings, those 4 or 5 innings, this bullpen isn't full of options. They can't send those guys to the minor leagues. They're going to run into issues there, and they're going to have trouble winning games. So I think it comes down to the pitching. The defense, of course, is always a main part when you're looking at a rotation that doesn't strike out a whole lot of guys. But that defense looks to be there. I think they just have to have everybody clicking. And pitching coach Dave Wallace, bullpen coach Dom Chidi last year in their first year, did a fantastic job of keeping everybody fresh, in line, really making the adjustment. And that's going to have to continue if they're going to have a chance.
You take Andrew Miller out of what was a really exceptional bullpen. You still have a GM and a manager with a great history of putting together bullpens. But is there the kind of depth and quality there to be that sort of 8, 9, 10, sometimes 12 out lockdown group that this team has had the last few years that they've been winning?
I think there is. When you look at Zach Britton returning, he's a guy capable of going 4 or 5 outs, and I think that's something they might do early on in the season if necessary. Darren O'Day had just a fantastic year as a reliever. Not really talked about quite as much, but he also is a big part of what they had. And they only had Andrew Miller for the final few months of the season, so this team was capable of being an exceptional bullpen without him. And I think people kind of forget that they were able to piece things together. Brian Mattis, as a lefty in that pen, was excellent as well. So they can be a strong bullpen again, but they're going to need that starting pitching to come through because, like I said, they can't put guys in the minor leagues without exposing them to waivers. And the Orioles do have some young guys, prospects they think well of, that could help them in the bullpen this season. But right now, where they stand, they just need everybody to come out of the gate throwing well.
Question two is the opposite. If it doesn't happen, if they fall short and this team is not playing in October, if they come up short of expectations, what's the most likely culprit?
Well, probably on the flip side of that, that they're not pitching well, and it's just not happening for them. This offense is good, but it's always going to be a feast or famine offense. They've got a lot of power in that lineup, even without Nelson Cruz. With Chris Davis returning, Matt Wieters figures to play into this season at some point. Manny Machado, the guys that they have back, this is a lineup capable of putting up some serious crooked numbers, but they're also a strikeout-prone lineup as well, so you can't rely on them consistently, which is why they need that pitching. So if they do end up falling short, it's because some of these guys they're relying on heavily, guys like Chris Tillman and Wei Yin Chen, these guys aren't performing well, and that is probably why they're going to struggle.
Who's the one most pivotal player on the roster? Not the best, but the guy where if he goes, they go, and if he doesn't, it's going to be trouble.
Probably Adam Jones, because he just hasn't had really an injury sustained where he's been out for a long period of time. He's so much the heartbeat of that team. He's a leader. He's vocal. And I think if they were down Adam Jones, it's not just replacing him in center field. It's replacing what he does clubhouse-wise or, how much access he gives to the media and really being the voice of the team. I think it would just be a huge blow, a lot of wind out of their sails if they were to lose Adam Jones for a significant amount of time.
He's kind of quietly, for such a central guy, it seems like it's not really known. He's been at a real solid level for a while. Do you think he's got a few more years of this? I mean, he's not an old guy, but he's also not a kid anymore. What do you kind of think he's got going forward in him?
I think he's got at least another couple of years. He's 29 years old. So like you mentioned, he's kind of at that age where, as Buck likes to say, guys figure it out. And, you know, he really takes care of himself physically, and it shows. He's a guy who wants to play every day. He's consistently plays, you know, around that 158 games played mark. And that's something that Nick Markakis was really instrumental in enforcing in this clubhouse, something Adam Jones decided to emulate. And without Markakis, that all kind of falls on Jones in terms of suiting up every day, really working through a lot of the issues that you have over the grind of the 162-game season. So to me, for Adam Jones, he hasn't peaked quite yet. I would expect for him to continue to operate at a high level for at least the next few years. And like I said, he's just so important, everything he does to this team. I can't imagine, you know, they were without Manny, they were without Weeters last year and Davis, and they were able to get by. I just don't think that would be the same without Adam Jones.
Question four, what's the biggest unknown about this team? What's the thing that we really don't have a read on as we get into the beginning of the season?
I guess you'd have to say some of the guys that they're kind of placing their trust in. You know, Steve Pierce, a guy who had a breakout year last year, and you just hope he can continue to play at that level, but you never know. Travis Snyder, a guy who they took to kind of help take over for Nick Markakis, who they hope can build on a strong second half of last year. Again, you never know. I mean, there's a lot of gambling that has to happen for this team for things to go right. They have to be smarter than everyone else in some of their acquisitions. And you've seen with Dan Duquette, a lot of those smaller moves really pay off, and they have to pay off again. So in terms of what has to go right and who to watch, it's those the lesser names. The David Lowe, who had a horrific first half of the season last year, was able to rebound, but it was almost too late and really kind of got lost in the flow of things. He's another one that has to have a good year. So everyone kind of has to pull together if they're going to make up for that power lost by Nelson Cruz and for some of the stuff that Nick Markakis was able to do, as well as Andrew Miller.
Lowe is a guy who has a skill set that this team could really use if he's right. I mean, this is a team, a little like the Mariners. They hit the ball out of the park, but they hit a lot of solo home runs. Is there an opportunity for him to be a big part of this offense?
There is, and I think they're kind of waiting to embrace him with that, with open arms. He had a concussion last year during spring training. Never looked quite right for a while. I remember looking at him in May in New York and him just being totally out of it, kind of staring at the lights, and there was a lot of lingering post-concussion symptoms with him. But they got him because they thought he was going to be a better Nate McLaughlin. And really, as you mentioned, he's fast. He defends well. He made some exceptional plays last year. So they hope that he can be a huge part for them. I mean, this is a platoon situation in the outfield right now, but it's definitely a chance for some of these guys to win regular everyday roles. You know, Buck likes to foster competition, but if you're playing head and shoulders about the other guys, see Steve Pierce as an example, you're going to continue to get consistent playing time.
And then question five, give me a bold, fearless, interesting prediction about this team. I'm not talking a number of wins or postseason. Something that you would have access to that other people wouldn't. Give me an interesting prediction about this team.
Ooh, interesting prediction about this team. Gosh, I would say I think Jonathan Scope is going to have a monster offensive year. Wouldn't surprise me if Jonathan Scope has 18 to 22 home runs this year.
Outstanding. All right. Brittany Giroli, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras. Talking to MLB.com's Brian Hoke about the New York Yankees. And it is just about time for one of the beat reporters' happiest times of the year, the time when the games start counting, your scorebook gets a little easier to manage, and you get back to the time schedule that you're used to having. So it's time to talk about the regular season. We're previewing the Yankees here, and so I have five questions for you. And the first is, if this team does what it expects to do, if it reaches its expectations and succeeds and wins a division and maybe even makes a deep run in October, what will be the single biggest reason that it went right, that they succeed?
I'll go with Masahiro Tanaka. I think that is my key guy for this year. I think he is the difference. A healthy Tanaka is the difference between this team making the playoffs or having a third straight October where there's no baseball at Yankee Stadium. So I think that, look, Tanaka, he is a difference maker. He is their ace. He is their number one starter. He's going to be on the mound opening day, barring some catastrophe. I think that he's earned that. They've invested the money in him. And if he's the guy he was before that elbow injury last year, he's going to dominate again. I've seen no indications that he's backed off a little bit. I know he's talked about his velocity dipping, but I tend not to get too caught up in spring training velocity. I think that when the bell rings and the competition juices are flowing, you'll see a couple more miles per hour out of him. So I'll say if he can stay healthy and give them 32 starts, that is going to be their number one reason that they're in the playoffs.
You mentioned the velocity. The other thing that's been talked about with that is that he may be throwing a two-seamer a little more. He did that when he came back last year. Do you think that that is a significant wrinkle to what he's able to do, particularly given that that's another pitch that moves?
Yeah, I think he's got a lot of stuff that moves. Yeah. It's not just that. And if you remember, there was a Sunday night game against Boston where he had Mike Napoli dead to rights. And then for some reason, he decided to throw him a four-seam fastball. Napoli put in the seats, and he came back to the dugout and was yelling something like, "What an idiot." I think that that's just one example of Tanaka's making adjustments. He's realizing stuff he was getting away with in Japan, he can't get away with here. I believe that seven of the home runs he gave up last year were on four-seam fastballs. So you take a look back, he clearly had a long time in the winter to evaluate the way that everything went. And you take a look back, you adjust, and you say, all right, well, if that's not working, I've got plenty of other things here in the toolbox that I can try out.
Question two is the flip side of that. If they miss the postseason, if this is not a successful season, and I think at this point, even in a year where they're maybe not as dominant as some years, missing the postseason counts as not a successful season, what's the culprit? What goes wrong if this year doesn't go the way they want it to?
Same thing that happened the last 2 years. I mean, the Yankees have set consecutive records in back-to-back seasons. And this is not a team where they don't have a long history. They've set consecutive records back-to-back years of players used. And anytime you're doing that and calling on your farm system and scouring the waiver wire and just picking up scrap heap guys, I mean, it's no wonder that they've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. And I think you look at it, the fact that they've been able to win 85 and 84 wins with the patchwork team that they've thrown out there and the list of guys that have worn the pinstripes in the last 2 years, I think Joe Girardi's done a terrific job with this team. So if they don't make the playoffs this year, it'll be because too many guys went on the DL, too many guys couldn't stay out of the trainer's room. And that's one of the dangers of having an older veteran team, as the Yankees are. But I think that if they can stay healthy, they can accomplish their goals. And if they don't, I'm not sure how they're going to get there.
Well, you kind of answered this, so I guess I have to ask you, who's the second most pivotal guy? It's aside from Tanaka, who else is a guy where he's got to be good for them to be good?
Yeah, I mean, I could pick a few different guys, and I guess I'm going to pick one of the three big signings from last year other than Tanaka, and that's going to be Brian McCann. I think that McCann needs to come back. He had kind of an up-and-down year, and Girardi says if you look at the numbers, that they're actually not as bad as you would think, but clearly McCann knew that, especially his first half, was not what he expected that first year in New York. He needs to come back and live up to the contract, and I think he'll be more comfortable a second time around the American League. He doesn't have to learn as many new pitchers. He certainly doesn't have to learn his own pitching staff the way he did last year. There's a lot that went into that for McCann. So not to make excuses for him, he was clearly disappointed, but I think that there's no reason to think that he won't come back and have a better offensive year. The Yankees liked what he did defensively, so if he can come back and be that again, he said it was one of his best years. So I think that's huge. Having Beltran healthy would be helpful too for the team, but I'm going to say the man behind the plate just because he impacts them both on offense and defense so much.
What's the biggest unknown about this team as we approach the 2015 season?
Biggest unknown in this team? I guess maybe other than will Masahiro Tanaka's elbow hold out, I could say about A-Rod, you didn't really know what you were going to get out of him coming into spring training. The Yankees said they had no expectations, and he's shown that he can be a competent bat. He may be their everyday DH. There was talk about how he might just only be the DH against left-handed pitching, and Garrett Jones would have to take the at-bats against right-handed because Alex just couldn't catch up to fastballs anymore. You haven't seen that. He's looked kind of like the guy you saw at the end of 2013. So I think that, look, is he going to compete for an MVP award? No. I mean, those days are gone, and he's probably going to be station to station on the base pass. And his main goal when he's in the field is not to embarrass himself, but he'll catch the balls when they're hit at him. He can play a little third base. He might even help out at first base. They've talked about getting him in there. But the question is, can he hit? How much can he hit? And I think that if you look at A-Rod, what he did in that tail end of 2013, if they had that guy last year, they would have played him into the ground. They would have played him every day. And so they could use any offensive production. I guess that's my biggest mystery coming in the year is, how do you come back after a suspension like that and still be the guy that you were?
And then last, give me one bold, fearless, interesting prediction about the 2015 Yankees.
One fearless, interesting... okay, you put me on the spot here. But I will say, Dellin Betances will have no issue taking over the closer role. He will have just as dominant a year as David Robertson had. I know there's been some talk about in spring training, wondering if he'll be effective, but I think that at the back end of a bullpen where you've got guys like Andrew Miller and David Carpenter and Justin Wilson, all these big arms who throw in the high 90s and really blow guys away, Betances is maybe the biggest one of them all. So I think he's going to have no sophomore slump. He's going to come back and be just as good last year, just as good this year as he was last year.
All right. Brian Hoke, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras. Talking Toronto Blue Jays with MLB.com's Blue Jays beat reporter, Gregor Chisholm. We are almost on opening day, and it is time to actually start talking about games that count. So, got five questions for you regarding the 2015 Blue Jays season. Number one, and this is a team with very high expectations, so give me one reason this team hits its goals and its expectations, makes it to October, and goes deep into October.
It would start with that lineup. I mean, that lineup that they have right now, 1-6, can probably match up against anybody in baseball. When you're talking about Jose Reyes, Russell Martin, Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, Josh Donaldson, I mean, the list kind of goes on and on and on. So I think that they're going to have to outslug some of their opponents. There are some question marks in the rotation in the bullpen, but I think for the most part, you've got some very proven guys. So health is going to be a factor. There's no question about it. The bottom of the lineup might be a little bit of a question mark, but you're talking about some very, very elite talent, 1-6. And I think that, more than any other reason, is cause for optimism among the Blue Jays that they can contend this year.
Reyes obviously can be one of the best players on the planet, but he's had some inconsistency, and I think that's fair to worry that maybe he's in his decline phase. What are your expectations for him? Can he be that guy that sparks a lineup that is really the key at the top?
Yeah, and just as you said, I mean, he really is kind of the key, in my opinion, to a lot of what happens with that lineup, because I think for the most part, you know exactly what you're going to get from Bautista, Encarnacion, Donaldson, guys like that. Reyes, I mean, let's be honest, he's been very up and down since he came over to the Blue Jays. Health has been a concern, but they need, with those kind of big sluggers in the middle, they need guys who can get on base for the heart of that order, and it needs to start with Reyes. You know, he had some moments last year, but the on-base percentage was a little bit of a concern for large portions of that year. He needs to kind of turn that around. I don't think he necessarily needs to be the speedster that he was early on in his career. I don't think they need that. You know, they don't need 40 stolen bases from him. They need him to get on base so that the Jays have guys there. And then right after that, and one of the reasons why they're looking at Russell Martin as the number two guy is because of the fact he's coming off a year with an on-base percentage that was, you know, around 4. So, I mean, those are two guys that, whether it's Martin long-term, whoever it is in that number two hole, number one and number two really are going to have to be the ones that drive this lineup, because those big sluggers are going to need some guys to be able to drive in, and they can't have a season where those guys are just kind of hitting solo shots all the time.
And then number two, if they fall short, what will the culprit be?
It's been the culprit for the last couple of years. It's, say, health, because this is a team that hasn't been able to stay healthy for the last 2 years. I mean, that was what really derailed the 2013 season. And last year, I mean, you looked at that team probably as a team that seemed destined for the postseason until they lost Edwin Encarnacion, Adam Lind, guys like that midseason, really kind of drove a nail into the coffin for that team last year. This year, I think they're a little bit more equipped to handle it because it seems like they have a little bit more depth than maybe in years past, and I think they've tried to make that adjustment. But there are some guys on that team that probably could be considered injury prone, and I think it's going to be up to those guys to prove that that's not really the case. You're going to need guys like Reyes to stay healthy. You're going to need Michael Saunders to stay healthy, and then you're absolutely going to need the core guys in the middle of that lineup to be able to play 140, 150 games this year, because if they don't, then that's probably where you're going to come into a situation like we did the last couple of years.
Number three, what's the biggest unknown? What's the one thing that we just aren't going to know until we get to October about this club?
To me, it's one guy, really, to be honest with you. I think it's Aaron Sanchez and the transition that he makes to the starting rotation. To me, he's a very, very big piece to this team. We saw what he could do out of the bullpen last year, but that was predominantly with one pitch. He's not going to be able to do that in the starting rotation. And there are some question marks about his secondary stuff. I mean, it got rave reviews in the minor leagues, but it's not something that we've been able to see firsthand translate to the big league level. And so, you know, he's been working on a new slider. That's going to be a key. Whether or not he's going to be able to command his curveball is going to be key. These are the things that are going to help define whether or not he makes that transition to the rotation. And really, he's the guy who's been kind of pinned to replace Marcus Stroman. I mean, Marcus Stroman is a huge void on this team when they lost him for the season. You need good starting pitching to win. We all know that. And I think they know what they're going to get from Dickey, Burley, guys like that. Sanchez, to me, is the big question mark.
Well, then you may have just answered number four as well. But question number four is, who's the most pivotal player? Who's the guy where if he's good, they're good, and if he's bad, they're bad?
I think it starts with Sanchez, but you could easily just say one of the exact same things about a couple other pitchers as well. You could say the same thing about Daniel Norris. I mean, this is a guy who technically had to compete for the fifth spot, but it was basically a foregone conclusion from the get-go that spot was going to belong to him. He's someone in my mind that really could be a bit of an under-the-radar type guy. The other one is Drew Hutchison. I mean, it sounds like he is going to be the number one starter on this team this year going into the year, just because of the way the rotation is going to set up. Hasn't been made official, but that's where they're potentially leaning. But he's a guy who could probably take the biggest step forward. You know, last year, coming off Tommy John surgery, it was basically an accomplishment just for him to get through the year and get up to 184 innings like he did. It seemed like he hit a bit of a wall midway through the year, but in the second half, he really kind of came back strong. Now they need that type of performance, you know, from April all the way through to the end of September. And I think you're kind of looking now as him probably replacing Stroman as the guy with the highest upside on that staff, and someone who's really they're going to need to get an awful lot from in order for this team to contend.
And then number five, give me one bold, interesting prediction about this club. And I'm not just talking about they made the playoffs or they don't. Give me one bold, interesting prediction about the 2015 Blue Jays.
The bullpen is supposed to be a huge area of weakness. And on paper, there's tons of uncertainty there. I think the bullpen's going to be okay. I think they're gonna get what they need out of there. I think Brett Cecil is going to be fine in that closer's role. I think he's going to do just as well as Casey Jansen did the last couple of years. And to me, I think a big, big wild card and a guy who I maybe believing the hype a little bit in spring training, but I think Miguel Castro, just based on his stuff, is going to be the guy who kind of fills that role that Aaron Sanchez was originally going to fill, which is that guy who can come in almost like a Dylan Betances last year in New York, come in for two innings at a time, or at least one, and give them some really high leverage type innings. And it just, to me, he's got the stuff that it really takes. I mean, he's just that upper 90s velocity, the changeup, the slider's still a work in progress, but he really only needs those first two pitches in order to succeed out of the bullpen. And I think they're going to get some really high leverage innings out of him. And I think when it's all said and done, that bullpen is going to be okay. In fact, it'll probably be better than it was last year, where it was a huge area of weakness, but that was a bullpen that was supposed to be really, really good. This bullpen's supposed to be bad, and I think it'll be just fine.
All right. Well, Gregor Chisholm, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras. Talking Tampa Bay Rays with MLB.com's Rays beat reporter Bill Chastain. Bill, it's one of a beat reporter's happiest times of the year when your scorecards are going to be a little cleaner. You're going to be working on your regular daily schedule. It's almost opening day. It's time to start talking about the 2015 Rays. So I got five questions for you. We start with one. If this team surprises people outside the organization and I suspect meets the expectations internally, makes a postseason, what's going to be the single biggest reason for that? What's going to go right if this team is in the postseason?
I think first off, the pitching staff, the starting rotation in particular, is going to get healthy in a hurry because that's the strength of the team. Other than that, I would look for a big season for Kevin Kiermaier to keep coming back from where he is, have a nice transition from Desmond Jennings playing well in left. He's been banged up some the last couple of years. And then I'd look for a solid contribution from catcher Rennie Rivera.
What is your expectation as far as the health of that rotation?
Hard to say right now. None of those injuries are, you know, look to be like anything really serious. So I expect them to be back, you know, late April. After that, I think that's a very good rotation, starting with Alex Cobb, who I think has the stuff to be a true number one And right behind him would be Chris Archer and then Drew Smyly. And Drew Smyly has done wonders since he's been over here. So that's a pretty solid three. And then the rest of the guys you got mixing up those last two, including Jake Odorizzi. You know, a lot of guys like to have that rotation, a lot of teams.
They've dealt with a lot of issues at the back of the rotation this spring as well. With what they have, do they have the depth to make it through that first month or however long it is and still be in the hunt when guys start coming back?
I think they, you know, who knows? I mean, but from what I've seen of some of the guys who are in competition to have that fourth spot, it looks like Nathan Carnes will be the number three guy. You can flash back to last year. He finished the year with a really strong outing at Toronto where you could see what he could do on a good night. Of course, what you find out with a lot of these guys is what they can do when they don't have all their pitches and their best stuff. So I think, you know, we're going to be looking at Matt Andreese and maybe Mike Montgomery at the back end there. So, you know, it's up in the air. But I do think that the fact they've got some off days in there, you know, that they might be able to, you know, stay safe until the cavalry comes to rescue them.
And then the flip side of that question, too, is if they don't make the postseason, if they fall short, if this is a long year, what is it that will have gone wrong?
Well, maybe I would think that just like last year, really all the problems, the root of all the evils last year started in the starting pitching, which was injured basically for the first 3 months. If those starters, if Cobb doesn't come back, Smyly doesn't come back, if Matt Moore doesn't come back in the middle of the summer, if Jake McGee doesn't come back, you know, those are some ifs. They're not big ifs. They all look like pretty well you can count on them, but I think that would probably be why.
Who's the most pivotal player on this team? Who's the guy that they absolutely need to be good? And maybe not the best player, but the guy that really kind of swings it that they need to be good if they're good.
Well, I think that's kind of a twofold answer there because actually Longoria is the, you know, to quote Reggie Jackson, the straw that stirs the drink. But, you know, and if you'd have told me he had the numbers he had last year after playing 162 games, I would have said you're nuts. But, you know, still decent numbers, just not Longoria-type numbers. He seems to have kind of a focus this spring that he wants to get it back. So I think you put that there, and then I also think just having a solid guy behind the plate who can hit some is going to factor in greatly. I mean, it's not a very high bar behind the plate offensively. I think Rivera could really help them.
What's the biggest question, the biggest unknown, the thing that we're just not going to know about this team until they start playing some games and we see them in games that count?
I think it's mostly in the outfield. All of them are talented. They have athletic skills, but there's a little something that you've got to wonder if they can get it together. You know, you've got Jennings, who can do it when he's healthy. Kiermaier is a defensive. He's crazy good on defense. Is he going to hit good enough to support that? Brandon Guyer showed some strides offensively. He wasn't as strong defensively last year. And, of course, we're going to see the new guy, Steven Souza Jr. From what I've seen of him so far, he looks like the real deal. And the fact that he was backlogged in an organization that had a strong outfield probably bodes well for that. So I think that might be the biggest question mark, although it's not, you know, a real deal killer, I don't think.
How exactly do those pieces fit together? Because they've got some guys who can play a couple of spots in the outfield. They've got some guys with complementary skill sets. It seems like a lot of ways you can mix and match those guys out there.
Mixing and matching is the way they do things around here. And even yesterday, Cash told us that there was not a group of starters per se. It was a team. And so I think you're going to see a lot of matchups, although I do think Kevin Cash is going to be a little more let a guy play some every day to get that feeling of consistency you need to be successful. So, but I think you're going to see all these players play a lot, and they are versatile players, and you know I think that's going to be how they use the DH as well, which they've done in the past. And given the history of their DHs in the past, it's probably a good way to do it.
And then number five, give me one bold, fearless, interesting prediction about the 2015 Rays.
Tough one. How about let's say Chris Archer breaks loose and wins 22 games. He's got the stuff to do it, and He's going to be starting at the start of the rotation. He's got the confidence. Who knows? He might just have a breakout year this year.
Well, I apologize to everybody for this, but you know I have to do it. I think you're going into the danger zone on that one, Bill. Talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter Ian Brown. We are almost upon the opening of another season, a season with very high expectations and a lot of excitement around the Boston Red Sox. So I have five questions for you, Ian. And number one is, what's the biggest reason that this team will achieve what it is set out to do, which in Boston in any good year is not just get there, but win the whole thing?
Yeah, you know, you usually start with pitching when you ask a question like this, but I really like the hitting this team has. I really like the lineup. Even in spring training, you can see guys feeding off each other. They're really fired up to play with each other, whether it's, you know, David Ortiz and Pablo Sandoval, or, you know, Hanley Ramirez and Dustin Pedroia. You see them already kind of forming that thing where they're just they're kind of pushing each other, and they're, you know, you've seen in some of the spring training games where, you know, one guy hits a double and it's kind of going all the way through the lineup, where you've seen that contagious thing, which you just didn't see at all last year. So I think lineup depth is going to be like one of those Red Sox teams we've been more accustomed to in recent years than the one we saw last year.
With the sheer number of guys who can hit, I mean, they've got more than nine competent, quality major league hitters. In that regard, do you see a parallel to that 13 team, which just had so many guys they could just throw at you in waves?
Yeah, this team's got a ton of lineup depth. I mean, their bench, you know, they have guys that a lot of guys would love to have in their starting lineup. And, you know, Clay Buchholz even said the other day that this lineup reminded him of 07, which was another really dominant Red Sox lineup that had, you know, weapons not only, you know, in the starting lineup, but on the bench also. So it can be that real relentless type of lineup. And, you know, you're basically also adding two players with Pedroia and Napoli, because they were shells of themselves last year with the hand injuries they were dealing with. And both those guys, you can just see the confidence those two guys have right now. And it just makes their lineup that much deeper.
So what would be the one thing that keeps this? And question two is, what's the one reason they don't achieve those goals and fall short?
Yeah, the reason would be the pitching, whether it's starting or in the bullpen, because, you know, you look at the pitching and you're still wondering, you know, are they going to get enough production from the starting rotation? You're asking a lot of Clay Buchholz. Now, we all know what Clay Buchholz can do when he's right. But if he's not right, you know, you really want, do they have that frontline starter? I think Porcello is going to be a pretty good number two. You know, I think Wade Miley, you pretty much know what he is. He's not going to win 20 games, but he can be a pretty good innings eater, keep you in most of the games. And I think Kelly, by and large, will do the same. I think Justin Masterson's a big question mark right now, because his, you know, he had all the problems last year. His radar gun readings were way down. This is the guy who was throwing 95 2 years ago. Last year, he was down in the mid-80s. In spring training, he's been in the mid to upper 80s. You know, maybe that comes back when the adrenaline kicks in, when he builds a little more arm strength. But right now, you know, you're a little worried, you know, is Masterson going to be closer to what he was in 2014, which was not a very good pitcher, or 2013, which was a guy who not only started opening day for the Indians, but really earned that start the way he pitched that year.
Question three, who's the most pivotal guy on the 2015 Red Sox? Not their best player, but the guy where if he has the year that he can, things are good, and if he doesn't, things are bad.
Yeah, I would really say Buchholz for the pitchers. I mean, he's the one guy, he really can be that ace that they need. And if he could just kind of have that year where he just finally puts it all together, not just for a couple months, not just for a couple weeks, but for a full season, I think that could make an enormous difference in how big this Red Sox team would be. And then maybe they don't have to mortgage part of their future to go out and trade for an ace.
It seems like the indications of that this spring have been pretty positive. Are you buying it? Do you like what you're seeing from Buchholz?
Yeah, I love what I'm seeing from Buchholz right now. I mean, I've seen nothing but positive from him. Just from his demeanor, he looks engaged. He looks excited to be there. He looks excited about the role he's taken with the other pitchers on the team. And just the stuff. I mean, the stuff is the most important thing. And the stuff looks like it's getting back to where it was a couple years ago. Where last year, he was really gun-shy. He wasn't convinced that arm injury he had the year before was behind him. I think he was worried he was going to blow his arm out on one pitch, and then just it snowballed from there. His mechanics got screwed up, and he lost his confidence. But to me, he looks like he's back.
Question four: what's the biggest question? What's the biggest unknown about this team that will get answered between now and October?
The bullpen. You know, you go into the year with a 39-year-old. He's going to be 40 by the time the season starts, and Koji Uehara, he's already had some health problems in spring training. So, you know, can this guy still be a closer on a championship caliber team. I think I was a little bit surprised when they signed him for 2 years, just based on what we saw in the second half of last year. So back into the bullpen, I mean, any sort of championship team needs a ninth inning, you know, a guy in the ninth inning they can rely on. So to me, that's a huge question.
If Uehara either is physically not right or struggles, is there enough there? Are there enough alternatives, enough other options to make that work if they have to do without him being at his best?
Yeah, Matthew, I really think that they're sort of grooming Matt Barnes to be their sort of closer in waiting, where I think that if something happened to Koji early in the season, I think you'd see Mujica kind of as the short-term solution. I don't think they look at Eddie Mujica as a longer term. I think they think that eventually hitters start to catch up to him, much like you saw in St. Louis a couple years ago. So I think that Matt Barnes, they think his stuff could really play up nicely in the bullpen. So I think they want to get a good look at that this year.
Sounds a lot like a couple of World Series championship teams I covered. That can be a successful formula.
Yeah.
And then question five is the hard one. Give me a bold, interesting prediction. I'm not asking you to tell me they do or don't win the World Series.
Yeah,
give me
yeah.
a bold and interesting prediction about the 2015 Red Sox.
Yeah, the one guy that I think people are sleeping on a little bit is Mike Napoli. I think he's going to have a huge year. You know, we haven't seen him yet have that year in Boston like the ones he had in Texas. Obviously, everyone remembers the big hits he had in the postseason in 13, but he didn't have a monster year. And I think that this is the healthiest he's been since he's been here. I sense him really kind of excited to kind of prove what he can do. And, oh, by the way, he's in a contract year, too, which never hurts. And he got the sleep apnea thing taken care of over the offseason. He had a ton of things he played through last year. So I just think that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he had a 30-95 type year, which Red Sox haven't seen that yet.
There we go. Good stuff. All right, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.